KRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines: Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has presented a Gaza ceasefire proposal to mediators with the aim of putting an end to the ongoing war. Yemen's Ansarullah leader says that operations against Israel-linked vessels will extend to include ships crossing the Indian Ocean. Russians are heading to the polls across the country in a three-day presidential election. Hello and welcome, everybody. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it has put forth a new proposal for a Gaza ceasefire with the aim of ending the Israeli war on the besieged territory. Hamas says it has presented the proposal to Egyptian and Qatari mediators. The movement says under its proposal, the occupying Israeli forces should leave Gaza. Hamas says its proposal also includes the return of displaced Palestinians to their homes and providing them with aid. The exchange of Palestinian prisoners with Israeli captives held in Gaza is included as well. Reports say the initial exchange would see the release of Israeli women, children, elderly, and the sick. They would be freed in return for the release of 700 to 1,000 Palestinians. The Israeli regime has said the new Hamas position is based on what it called unrealistic demands. Senior Hamas official Osama Hamdan has already said any Israeli opposition means that the regime wants to continue the war. The Israeli military has conducted new attacks on different locations across Gaza. Our correspondent in the central city of Deir al-Bala earlier joined us to give us more details.
In the meantime, the Israeli occupation artillery maintained its shelling towards the eastern part of several areas of Gaza Strip, particularly here in Deir al-Balah city and Al-Mughraga neighborhood, and even Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. Heavy artillery shelling reached those areas, and that shelling actually was maintained over the night. And even in Jabalia refugee camp and in Khan Yunis city, the Israeli artillery also maintained and continued their attacks and airstrikes. In the meantime, the central areas of Khan Yunis city and Jabalia refugee camp also were hit relentlessly by those Israeli continuous airstrikes. Several residential buildings destroyed over those cruel attacks.
Condemnation pouring in over Israel's massacre of over 100 Palestinians waiting for humanitarian aid in Gaza City on Thursday. The Palestinian Mujahideen movement says Israel's shelling of aid seekers at the Kuwaiti roundabout is a stain of shame for anyone complicit in the crime. The resistance movement held to the U.S. and other Western states and some Arab countries responsible for Israel's genocide in Gaza. Another resistance movement, Hamas, reacted as well. It criticized the failure of the international community and the UN to take action against Israel. Hamas said the inaction has given the regime the green light to commit horrific crimes against Palestinians. Israel has time and again targeted aid seekers in Gaza in the past several weeks. The regime unleashed its war on Gaza in early October, killing over 31,300 people. The repeated Israeli attacks on aid seekers in Gaza was the topic of our news review program. Let's take a listen to comments by our guests on that issue.
And now welcome everyone to the news review program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. Joining us now for the program is Habiba Jaguri, a journalist and activist, joining us from Adelaide, and John Stepling, author and commentator, joining us out of Inderøy, Norway. Hello, and I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I guess, Habiba, we'll do the gentlemanly thing here and start with you first. Your initial thoughts, who in what conflict provides denies a civilian population of food, water, and medicine, and the little that does get in, it targets them when they are desperately seeking to go after it?
Thank you so much for having me. Well, a regime that has started off being anti-human in politics from the very beginning of its foundation, that from the very beginning of its foundation started off as a lie, started off as an excuse to come and plunder and steal resources. Of course, something like this, some atrocious, absolutely horrific war crime of using starvation as a weapon of war and then killing people seeking aid, seeking food. Of course, such a result will come from Israel, a terrorist state. Israel has been a rogue state from the very beginning of its foundation. It has never, ever given importance to human life.
John, welcome to the program. Now, John, you know very well, if there's a lorry, a big rig, an 18-wheeler somewhere in Ukraine carrying humanitarian aid, and it gets targeted, it'll be all over Western corporate media news. This is eight trucks getting in, one out of every 500 are getting in. And then when they do, you're not just hitting the truck. Sometimes you are, actually. The Israelis sometimes are hitting them en route on highways. But the worst part is hitting when people are scattered around them, resulting, and you very well know it's been done systematically, and it's not just on one incident now.
Yeah. What your other guest said is worth underscoring again. And yes, of course, there's a double standard that's a naked double standard in reporting on Israel and Gaza from Western media. It's shocking, actually. But your other guest is right. Israel has been a settler colonial imperial project from even before 1948. They were killing Arabs even before that. Ergun and the Stern Gang and so forth were terrorizing the region. You can go back and look up the bombing of the King David Hotel and on. The list of war crimes from committed by Israel is nearly endless.
Habiba Jaguri joining us from Australia, and Mr. John Stepling there joining us out of Norway. That brings us to the conclusion of this segment of your news review program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Well, the holy month of Ramadan is observed as a special and holy month for Muslims across the globe, but the situation is different for Palestinians in Gaza, where they are living under catastrophic conditions due to the Israeli war. Let's take a listen to comments by some of the residents in Gaza.
We have been unstable, moving from one place to the next. There is no shelter or anything. There is no food, there is no water, nothing. Not even the most basic living essentials like bread. We're forced to eat wild plants when it rains and cook them. That is our situation. We hope from God to relieve this crisis and end this war soon.
I don't know. Look at my stomach, how shrunk it has become. I was 80 kilograms and now I'm around 65 kilos. I've lost 15 kilos. When you look at people, you see they talk to themselves. They can barely walk because of lack of food. There is no food or anything here at all.
Of course, despite the fact that we are under siege, starving, and despite the malnutrition that our dear children, patients, and elders are suffering from, we are still performing the Taraweeh prayers during the holy months of Ramadan. We ask Almighty God for a relief soon to our people in northern Gaza who are under siege from all sides.
The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement says the country will expand its military operations against Israel-linked ships and will prevent their crossing through the Indian Ocean.
Our main battle is to prevent ships associated with the Israeli army not only from passing through the Arabian Sea, the Red Sea, and the Gulf of Aden, but also with the grace and assistance of Allah Almighty. We aim to prevent their crossing through the Indian Ocean and from South Africa towards the Cape of Good Hope. This is an important advance and significant step, and we have already begun to carry out operations related to it.
The Ansarullah leader said so far three operations have been conducted in the Indian Ocean. The Yemeni armed forces have been attacking Israeli-linked ships in the Red Sea since mid-November to force the regime to stop its genocide in Gaza. In response, the U.S. and the U.K. have launched airstrikes on Yemen for what they call protecting international shipping. Yemen rejects their claim and has retaliated by targeting American and British ships in the Red Sea. The latest U.S.-led airstrikes hit Yemen's Hajja governorate early on Friday. Yemen says Israel, the U.S., and Britain are responsible for the mounting tensions. Earlier we spoke to Hossein Al-Bukhaiti, activist and political commentator, who joined us from Sana'a. He told us that Yemen is expanding its operations after Israel-linked ships changed their routes in high seas.
He mentioned that Yemeni will expand their attack because we have noticed that because after the Yemeni blocked the Red Sea and the Arabian Gulf in the face of Israeli affiliated ship, they actually are now using to go around the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa. That's why in the speech of Abdelmalek Al-Houthi yesterday has insisted that Yemeni will expand their operation. And I just want to mention that in the last 12 hours, Yemeni army, according to United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operation, two vessels has come under attack in the Red Sea just in the last 12 hours. And as well, according to United States Central Command, the two ballistic missiles were fired into the Gulf of Aden. They didn't say what was the target, but we have seen 2 days ago that U.S. Central Command has announced that one anti-ship ballistic missile was fired against towards a U.S. destroyer called Labon, and they said that it did not hit that ship. I mean, this is actually a change of the tune of the United States, because they always say that we have shut down either the drones or the ballistic missiles, but this actually latest statement, it shows that Yemeni anti-ship ballistic missiles actually was not, or they couldn't shoot it down by the anti-air missiles on those U.S. destroyer.
People across Russia are heading to the polls to choose a new president for the next 6 years. The vote is taking place across the country's 11 time zones. More than 112 million people are eligible to cast ballots from Friday until Sunday. Incumbent President Vladimir Putin is running for a fifth term. He has three rivals. They're from the New People's Party, the Liberal Democratic Party, and the Communist Party. Prior to the election, Putin called on Russians to vote, saying that people are the only source of power in his country. He said Russia is going through a difficult period and needs to stay united and confident to overcome it. The vote is also taking place in the four regions Russia annexed from Ukraine in 2022, namely Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia, and Kherson. The conflict in Ukraine has led to a major restructuring of the global weapons market. According to a new report from a top NGO dedicated to peace, Europe has doubled their arms imports in recent years, with Russia dropping from its longtime number two spot behind the United States. Rami Mazari reports from Paris.
The top annual analysis of global arms sales found that France has risen to the number two weapons exporter in the world. The gains have often been made thanks to debt from Ukraine, which has become Europe's largest arms importer. French arms sales have soared 50% in recent years and now comprise 11% of the global market. The world's leading arms dealer is still the United States, which controls a record 42% of the global weapons trade.
For us, it's a little paradoxical that a nation which claims to be a country which greatly respects human rights is also a nation which is so very proud of its weapon sales. It's clear that the values of the French people and human rights are subservient to geostrategic interests, and we shouldn't celebrate France's arming of often dictatorial regimes.
Arms sales to Ukraine has proven to be big business, and it may explain President Emmanuel Macron's about-face on the conflict. 2 years ago, Macron warned that Russia must not be humiliated, but he's recently become one of Europe's leading anti-Russia war hawks. France's top three arms clients are India, which is the world's largest arms importer, followed by Saudi Arabia and tiny but rich Qatar. Africa is still reeling from 40 tons of illegal free arms drops France made in 2011 to support anti-Gaddafi rebels in Libya. As predicted, the weapons soon found their way to Syria, the Central African Republic, Ukraine, and elsewhere.
D'exposer son matériel de guerre.
French arms in Africa allows France to show off their latest weapons and present them as combat proven. So Africa is not just a show window for French arms, but also a testing laboratory, and with always destabilizing results for the continent.
This week, French Parliament approved a 10-year military pact with Kiev, which guarantees billions in more weapons deliveries.
Russia continues to gain ground against NATO-backed Ukraine, which is an important reminder that some weapons are made to work under actual wartime conditions, and some are made mainly for sales and profit. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Nigerian Muslims, like millions of others worldwide, are fasting in the holy month of Ramadan. However, the rising cost of living in the country has caused significant challenges for many Nigerian Muslims during this fasting period. Danjuma Abdullahi reports.
Ramadan, a sacred month in Islam, is a month to cultivate self-discipline, self-control, sacrifice, and empathy for those in need. Breaking of the fast in the evening, known as iftar, also fosters a sense of community and sharing as people come together to share a meal. Here in Nigeria, many Muslims are observing the month of Ramadan with fasting while grappling with the economic hardships plaguing the country. The Naira, Nigeria's currency, experienced a historic decline against the dollar in February this year, leading to a rampant inflation that has rendered life exceedingly difficult for many Nigerians.
In Ramadan, where people need so much food, where people need to have access to basic supplies, and then you begin to find that prices are exorbitant, the food is not even there in the first place. You know, so we have a double-edged inflation. The inflation is such that the money is not there and the food is not there.
Many people experience hunger before bedtime, making fasting during Ramadan a formidable challenge. Experts assert that there exists a fundamental issue that requires urgent attention.
For a country where that has 40% of the world's arable land, you find that there is no food security. It begs for answer. You know, it calls to question what exactly our agricultural policies are. What are we doing? I mean, how did we get here? It's really quite pathetic.
Religious organizations like the Al-Habibiya Islamic Society have established the food bank, where Muslims donate both money and food to support the less fortunate during Ramadan. Dedicated volunteers cook and package meals, ensuring that hundreds of impoverished fasting Muslims receive a warm meal for iftar in the evening.
Our purpose here is to improve lives through the support of Allah. With utmost humility and sincere gratitude to the Almighty Allah, things are now getting better for us. Yesterday, we provided meals for 2,200 people. On the first day of Ramadan, it was 1,600, and on the second day, it reached 2,002. Only God knows the count for today.
The Nigerian government has recognized the food challenge and has moved to address it. This is in addition to other critical measures. Beyond palliatives, experts say the Nigerian government must have the right mix of fiscal and monetary policies in order to get out of the economic situation. They say more than 60,000 hectares of farmland have been abandoned in northern Nigeria because of the banditry and kidnapping. The government needs to address the general insecurity in Nigeria. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam and welcome to our latest episode of Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Last week, we started explanation of Surah Muzammil, the number 73 in the serial order of compilation of the Noble Quran, and today we complete it. It has 20 ayahs and revealed in Mecca in the early days of the Prophet's universal mission of Islam. It opens by addressing him as Muzammil, Odi, enwrapped in a cloak or sheet. This epithet means the one renouncing the vanities of the world or separating himself from all trifle matters for the purpose of meditation, which indicates the Prophet's preparedness to receive the divine commandments to guide mankind. The surah describes how God relaxed the early regime of devotion first decreed to the Prophet and prepared him for the weighty message of divine revelation. The Prophet is urged to be patient against the enemies and is informed in Ayah 10 of the punishment that awaits the disbelievers in hell. Ayah 15 refers to the punishment that befell Egyptian tyrant, the Pharaoh, while alive, thereby drowning him in the sea. According to a hadith from the Prophet, whoever regularly recites Surah Muzammil will not face hardships in this world and in the hereafter. We start from where we left you last Friday and invite you to listen to ayahs 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14.
واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا.
And be patient over what they say and keep away from them in a grateful manner. And leave me to deal with the deniers, the opulent, and give them a little respite. Indeed, with us are heavy fetters and a fierce fire, and a food that chokes those who gulp it, and a painful punishment prepared for the day when the earth and the mountains will quake, and the mountains will be like dunes of shifting sand. If you might recall, in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah last week, we said the midnight vigil is very effective in self-building through sincere worship, since it is the power of prayers and reflection on the flawless eloquence and timeless wisdom of the Noble Quran that provides us the clarity of vision to properly carry our daytime duties with reliance upon God alone, rather than trusting mortals, however powerful, or fearing their malice. In the ayahs that we recited to you now, God tells the Prophet of Islam, and through him all Muslims, to be patient and tolerant in the face of those who ridicule. The best way is to keep away from them at times in a graceful manner in order to avoid their evil. Keeping away from opponents, however, does not mean not to fulfill our obligations and duties in society, which should be as firm as resolve on the battlefields to decisively defeat the enemy, but lenient at the negotiating table to politely convey the truth to convince the other side. In other words, the Prophet and the believers are like a gardener tolerating the strings of thorns in order to pick up flowers. As Ayah 11 says, the matter of the obstinate deniers of truth, most of whom are opulent persons and hence arrogant, should be left to God Almighty, who gives them respite to repent and reform. But if they continue to indulge in their sinful ways, as the next ayah warns, terrible punishment shall be their fate. The disbelievers and unrepentant sinners are warned of the fetters of hell and its fierce fire, as well as indelible food that choke the throat. In contrast to the delicious food they had enjoyed in the world and indulged in the pleasures of the flesh. The severity of such torments is known to no one but God Almighty. The inmate of hell shall be fed from the tree of Zakum, a bitter and poisonous plant of a foul smell. On the day of resurrection, the seemingly mighty mountains shall disintegrate and turn into soft sand in which feet sink. From these ayahs, we learn that, number one, the best way to confront insults and ridicule is to be patient and ignore them instead of behaving in the same irrational way towards opponents. Number two, the true believer should act in civilized way by putting trust in God without paying attention to the nonsense uttered by the insulters. And number three, wealth and opulence often mislead many possessors to drift away from religion, ridicule believers, and indulge in cardinal sins, as history bears witness. Now we invite you to listen to ayahs 15, 16, 17, 18 and 19 of the same surah.
Inna arsalna ilaykum rasulan shahidan alaykum kama arsalna ila fir'aun rasula. فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولَ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ إِن كَفَرْتُمْ يَوْمًا يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا السَّمَاءُ مُنْفَطِرٌ بِهِ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَفْعُولًا إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا.
Indeed, we have sent to you a prophet to be a witness to you, just as we sent a prophet to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh disobeyed the prophet, Moses, so we seized him with a terrible seizing. So, if you disbelieve, how will you avoid the day which will make children white-headed, and wherein the sky will be rent apart? His promise is bound to be fulfilled. This is indeed a reminder, so let anyone who wishes take the way toward his Lord. These ayahs begin by drawing a comparison between the Prophet of Islam, who was raised as a witness over mankind, with Prophet Moses, who was sent to guide the Egyptian Pharaoh. It is a warning to the polytheist to heed the terrible fate that befell Pharaoh for rejecting Prophet Moses' message of monotheism and the path of truth. Those who persist in unbelief and sins are posed the question, what makes you think that your abominable sins and disbelief will keep you safe from divine wrath that makes the children grow old? The torments inflicted upon the disbelievers and unrepentant sinners on the day of resurrection shall be so severe, horrible, and harsh that the hairs of children will turn white due to the terrible shock. On that day, in fulfillment of divine promise, the sky shall rent asunder to the extent that even the huge celestial bodies and planets shall be shattered by the terrible happenings. So, how could mankind, which is weak and vulnerable by nature, shall face such incidents? So, choose the right path that leads to the bounties of the All-Merciful Lord before death ends the transient life of the mortal world. And know that the Almighty Creator, who has endowed human beings with gift of the intellect, wants them to properly recognize the truth and choose it out of the free will, rather than imposing it upon them. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, prophets are witness to the deeds of the nations they have been sent to guide, while Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, and the infallible Imams, are witness over all our deeds. Number two, the accounts of the past generations are lessons to be heeded by the next and future generations so as not to repeat the same blunders. Number three, there is no way of escape for the faithless from Allah's punishment on the day of resurrection. And number four, the Almighty Creator has bestowed mankind the best of creation with the gifts of the intellect, the speech, and free will to choose the truth from firm conviction. In conclusion of this week's episode of Path Towards Enlightenment that marks the end of Surah Muzammil, here is the last ayah, that is number 20.
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ علم أن لن تحصوه فتاب عليكم فقرؤوا ما تيسر من القرآن علم أن سيكون منكم مرضى وآخرون يضربون في الأرض يبتغون من فضل الله وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
Indeed, your Lord knows that you stand vigil nearly two-thirds of the night, or a half or third of it, along with a group of those who are with you. Allah measures the night and the day. He knows that you cannot calculate it exactly, so He was lenient toward you. So recite as much of the Quran as is feasible. He knows that some of you will be sick, while others will travel in the land seeking Allah's grace, and yet others will fight in the way of Allah. So recite as much of it as is feasible, and maintain the prayer, and pay the zakat, and lend Allah a good loan. Whatever good you send ahead for your souls, you will find it with Allah in a form that is better and greater with respect to reward. And plead to Allah for forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is all-forgiving, all-merciful. This ayah describes some of the characteristics of the true believers. It starts by emphasizing, or more properly re-emphasizing, the night vigil for performance of the non-obligatory post-midnight tahajjud prayer and recitation of the Noble Quran with contemplation, as we said last week while explaining the first ayah of Surah Muzammil. Thus, the first and last ayahs of this surah, if studied together, make it clear that though the tahajjud prayer is highly recommended, it is not obligatory, yet its rewards are many. The phrase, along with a group of those who are with you, refers to the Prophet's cousin, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, and to the loyal companion, Abu Zar Ghifari. The ayah endorses traveling and fighting for just cause. It stresses the punctual performance of the ritual prayer and calls on believers to pay the zakat from surplus income to the poor people, help them with interest-free loans, and spend for good causes by calling such a practice lend Allah a good loan, which includes spending for good causes. It adds that whatever good one does is solely for his or her soul, and will be compensated by Allah much more than mere reward. It concludes with the commandment to plead the All-Merciful Creator for forgiveness, saying, Allah is all-forgiving. The ayah teaches us the following points. Number one, Islam is a comprehensive religion, which besides regulating the ritual prayers, commands resolving of social issues by helping the poor and for spending in the way of Allah without being despondent of divine mercy. And number two, religious orders are in compliance with an individual's condition, and all good deeds, whether they require travel or fighting for a just cause, entail abundant rewards from Allah, who forgives those who repent.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to Allah. We send our peace and salutations. We send our love to His last messenger, Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him and his pure progeny. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We are into the very first bent of the month of Ramadan. Every moment of this month is so valuable that is not comparable with the similar moments in other months and other times of the year. As-salamu ala shahrillah. We send our love and salutations. We express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be able to observe the fastings and the rituals of this month of Ramadan. And we ask Him to accept our deeds so far, and inshallah allow us to comply with the rulings and with the instructions of this month, so that we can inshallah benefit from this special golden opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened to us. We have been talking about the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, the legacy of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. In this 12th dua, which is titled Fil I'tiraf wa talab at-tawbati ila Allah ta'ala, in confession and in seeking repentance toward Allah, exalted is He, we have got to the part that now Imam speaks to us in the language of dua and supplication. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam speaks to us in the language of love and supplication, in the language of dua and supplication, that there is a big need for having a pure heart. Let's take a moment of break and come back to see what the exact phrase is.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
all right, Dear listeners, we're back. In this session, we are talking about this phrase of the 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya, where Imam says, describing who we are, Imam says, I am the one, wa akhlasa, he's the one who has made, lakat tawba, makes his repentance toward you sincere. And we talked about purification and sincerity of repentance in the previous session. In this session, Imam says, faqama, the next phrase, faqama ilayka biqalbin tahirin naqi, he stands before you with a pure and purified heart. It's so important to be concerned with the purification of heart. And where is this heart? Is it that cardiac muscle that lays between our chest? Or is it a center for our soul and the spirit? Seems like this qalb that we talk about in the du'as is something beyond the cardiac muscle that helps pumping out the blood throughout the veins and arteries throughout our entire body. Rather, it's the center, that main part of our soul where the determinations are initiated, where the decisions are made, where our feelings, where our sensation, where our understandings, cognition, all of that takes place in that portion or that part of our soul. We call it qalb in Arabic, meaning heart. But this heart is not, again, the cardiac muscle. And Imam says, فَقَامَ إِلَيْكَ بِقَلْبٍ طَاهِرٍ نَقِي, he stands before you, O Allah. This servant is standing before you with what? With a heart that is pure and clean. With a heart that is being purified and being sanitated from anything that adds to the darkness of it, that creates darkness and creates illness in this heart, meaning disobedience of Allah. Imam in here means more specifically that, oh Allah, look at my heart. Even though I have committed certain actions, my heart has remained pure and sincere with you. Let's take a quick break and come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Respected listeners to the program Bridge, to IRIB English Radio, the program Bridge, Imam says, فَقَامَ إِلَيْكَ بِقَلْبٍ طَاهِرٍ نَقِي, he stands before you with a heart that is pure, that is clean, that is having removed all the dirts and the sins and the loads of attachments to this dunya. And these are all conditions of answering of the prayers. How can I make sure my prayers are being mustajab, are being answered? Look at these conditions that are listed by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He says, ثُمَّ دَعَاكَ, and he then calls you with all these conditions that he has accumulated, that he has achieved. He comes to you, ثُمَّ دَعَاكَ, and then he calls you. And then he supplicates you. How? بِسَوْتٍ هَائِلٍ خَفِي, He supplicates you with a feeble, quiet voice, meaning that he expresses modesty, knowing to whom he is talking to, his Lord, his Creator, Allah, exalted is He. This is very important. These are the prerequisites for the answered dua. What is a mustajab da'wah? It is a dua that is answered. Why is it answered? There's a system behind it. There are instructions for it. An imam is teaching those instructions to us. You might ask yourself, I have made so many du'as and supplications and I have made so many prayers, yet none of them are answered. Next time you ask yourself this question, refer to this 12th du'a of Sahifa Sajjadiyah. Make a checklist for yourself. Did you make this du'a with a pure heart? Did you make istighfar for yourself? So on, so forth. May Allah grant us the ability to, inshallah, follow these instructions, and may He grant our hajat and answer our du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on RIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را
یا سجاد.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to RIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One of the things is highly recommended in Islam through awliya, Prophet Muhammad talked about it. Ahlul Bayt a lot of time talked about it, and that is about sabr, patience. A true mu'min has to be a man of patience. We have a lot of hadith in this part, but because we are in the month of Ramadan, there is a beautiful hadith where it says as-sawm nisfu sabr. So sabr means in English patience. Patience means when you control yourself and you do not take yourself into the world of something where you have not thought enough. So before you enter in something, you have to think what you are going to do. You better always be man of patience or woman. Whatever it is, a mu'min brother has to be, a mu'min sister has to be a follower of patience. Patience is the base of your iman, is a base of your faith or faithfulness, is a base of your religion. Patience is very important. If we do not care about patience and we keep doing things without thinking, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. It causes us to lose our faith. It causes us to lose our relationship with the awliya of God, like with Ahlul Bayt, with Rasulullah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not good. So a man of patience is always in the safe side. As-sawm nisfu sabr. If you want to practice patience and you want to be man of patience and you cannot control yourself, let's say you're trying to practice patience but you're not able to succeed, then you better start with fasting. Start with fasting. As-sawm nisfu sabr. If you start fasting, basically you have gone half of the way. So your half of your job is done, basically. As-sawm nisfu sabr. Start learning patience through fasting. Fasting has a lot of barakat, positive things for you. Beside all those rewards, one of the most essential reward you can have through fasting is that you learn patience. So patience is not something you can say, I'm just living and I don't need patience. No, patience is the head for faith. If one person has no patience, that means his faith has no head. And nobody can survive without head. As a human being, we always have to have head, because head is the central processing unit in the body. So patience is the same thing. When we want to improve our faith, our religion, our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our practicing, everything, we have to go through patience. How we can learn patience? Simple. Rasulullah said, as-sawm nisfu sabr. So try to learn patience. If you're not able to learn patience, start with fasting. And we are, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, and we are already learning how to become man or woman of patience. A woman is always achieve success through patience, and one of the devices for achieving patience is sawm. That's why Prophet Muhammad said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, as-sawm nisfu sabr. So when you start your learning patience,